Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors. Welcome to The Uncommon Shaman, an internet radio show which celebrates the odd that exists within us and all around us. My name is Mato Sasquatch, and I'm your host. And for your next half an hour or so, I'm going to talk about some stuff, because that's what I do on this show. I endeavor to do my best to stop from whining, and since things in my own life have taken a turn for the better, it's easier to not whine when that happens. But I do encourage you that if it does seem like I'm whining too much, to go to my email, mutosasquatch@gmail.com. That's mutosasquatch@gmail.com. And say, hey, Mato, stop whining so much. Because that is a big goal of mine for 2016, is to not subject my listeners to quite so much of my own angst. And today should be a fairly angst-free show, although I do have a few, grievances to air. Not really grievances, nothing that bad. But I am, the main topic of the show is, what did I call it? I call it the Mystic Bedroom, and that just occurred to me because I had an idea for a blog entry, which I still haven't written. But it's just about a scene from my life, probably 20 years ago, where I was dating this very nice lady who had two boys, two teenage sons, and she didn't want them to catch me in her room having spent the night. I always had to leave, you know, quietly at some point during the middle of the night so that I would not be caught there by her sons in the morning. And just I felt like there was some humor in that story and also some poignancy in that story, and I felt when I was talking about it or thinking about it, actually talking about it, I talk out loud a lot, I found scenes from other, I can't say similar stories, but stories that took place in that similar setting seemed to occur to me. And it's a part of my life that I talk badly about my sort of romantic career, and I'm not really being fair to myself, nor to these very beautiful ladies who have shared my life from time to time. It's very fine experiences I've had with all of them, and a few bad ones, but mostly very nice. And I've had I've been lucky, in the sense that's usually used in this context. I've done quite well for myself for a kind of a, you know, nerdy guy who carries a little bit extra weight and likes to be by himself a lot. I think I've done pretty well in the romantic area, so I don't really have a bone to pick. So I'm going to talk about that just a little bit, the things that are going to be in this story, which I am going to write, damn it. Oh, and before I do that, I almost forgot. I have to remind you that we're on blogtalkradio.com and the With Insights Radio .com channel, and you can go to our website there, and it'll tell you about the other things that happen on the channel besides this show. And I believe there's also a place where you can make a contribution if you care to, because this is listener-supported radio. And I have to remember that. I have to remember to say that because I've forgotten the last couple of weeks. I have to remember to arrange my own particular contribution. Now that I'm working, I can actually pay Iggy. He hosts my blog, which is mutosasquatch.com. And while I haven't been working, I really haven't been able to pay him for doing that. Well, now that I'm working, I get that caught up, which is it's interesting because it was the same scenario last year. Just about the time he was going on his pilgrimage to Peru, I came into some money and was able to catch up my account, and that actually gave him some money to fulfill this trip that he was about to go on. So these things happen, I think, in a timely fashion. And now a year later, it's about to happen again. So I'm wondering what it is that that Chief Iggy is looking to do that he needs a little bit of cash for that's about to come his way unexpectedly. So, that wasn't good. Sitting here, let me tell you about this too. I'm here. Just recently had cable and internet put in my apartment again since I'm working, and they threw in internet phone. So I had to go. I went to my mother and said I need a phone. Because I have to plug a phone into the box so the internet phone will work, and I have this. She gave me this phone. It's the phone that sat on my father's desk from the time when they got rid of the old phones that were wired into the wall, and then they came with the plug things. This is the first phone we ever got that had. They call them phone marted. I think is what they used to call them. They're phone marted, and you had to plug because the phone company always owned your phone, and then the AT&T got broken up, and then now you own your phone. So this is the first phone we ever owned, and lots of long talks I can remember with my first wife before we got married on this, and as well as other topics. And then now they got fancy schmancy cordless phones, and this became expendable and then sat in the closet for a while, and now has been recalled to life, as Charles Dickens wrote. And I'm hoping the sound quality is better than the usual cell phone that I use for this purpose. So let me share just one detail from Mudtoe's life, and then we'll get to the mystic bedroom stuff. As of yesterday, I was working a month at this new job, and I work at I'm overseeing two group homes for gentlemen who they need some extra help. Various types of developmental disabilities, a wide range of guys, and I really can't talk about that in detail. But they need some help getting around, getting from place to place, taking care of their day-to-day business. And my job is to put together programs for them, so to help them develop independence, to be able to do things on their own that maybe they need help with now. One of the less attractive things about the job is I'm on call. If something happens at one of the houses, they could call me 24/7, and I would have to come out and take care of it. Now, I wouldn't be the first one to be called. It's the residential managers, the people who actually do the day-to-day operation of the house. They would get called first, and if for some reason that person couldn't be reached, they would call me. And it just so happens this is my first weekend with my on-call cell phone, which I have to keep on at all times, carry with me at all times in case somebody needs to get a hold of me. I had it for the first time last night, and I did not get to sleep. It bothered me so much, that thing. It could ring at any minute. It could ring at any minute. It could ring at any minute. I'm the kind of person who kind of needs to plan things. And that sort of surprise is not the sort of thing I really like so much. So I didn't fall asleep until probably past 5 o'clock, and then maybe got 2 hours of sleep before I had to go to work. So I came back about 4 o'clock this afternoon, and I laid down for a nap. And by God, didn't that phone ring at 20 after 4 and wake me up, because my residential manager is out of town for the weekend, so it defaults straight to me. Now, it wasn't a difficult job. I got out to the house and got it done in about 5 minutes. So my first taste of on-call was not particularly strenuous, but I did get woken up out of a sound sleep, which is something I don't particularly like either. So it's definitely going to take some getting used to, because that phone is always in the back of my mind. Right now it's in the back of my mind. Because if it were to ring right now, I would have to put this phone down and go get that phone and see what was up. So you could be an interesting, you'd probably be listening from a distance to half of a conversation. Now, I'm told these things don't happen, they don't get on the phone to you too terribly often. I can't tell you exactly what it was, but this afternoon, except to say it was something we had just had a conversation about, and the staff member wanted to make sure she had it right. I probably could have done that over the phone, except I have trouble understanding people over the phone, which is one reason I don't take a lot of calls on this show. I often just have with any I just have that because my boss is someone who likes to talk on the phone a lot. I'm someone who would prefer to communicate by email, because then I can say exactly, I know I've said exactly what it is I want to say. And phone just makes me nervous, first of all, because you can't rephrase, I guess you could rephrase, but you really can't take anything back. And the second thing is, I just, honestly, and as I've gotten older, it's gotten worse, and I think as it becomes the cell phone technology, it's gotten worse. If I could have one of these big old phones that I'm talking on now with me all the time. And boy, I remember this feeling. Oh gosh, it's been like about 10 minutes. I can already feel the elbow starting to go numb. I start switching sides. I hope this does sound better. As I say, I know that the show, I've heard the replays, the archives of the show on when I've done it on a cell phone. I want to look around now that I got a buck or two and see if I can find one of those headsets. I don't know if it would work with a phone this ancient. And a lot of the headsets I see people using are Bluetooth headsets. But it would be sort of the ultimate, because I've done the show with a headset on the computer before when I was using Skype. I'm not a big fan of Skype either, but I could use Skype now because I do have internet if I decide to go that route. But I got this internet phone. It doesn't cost me anything. It's not like we're talking like a couple of bucks for the Skype, and a couple of bucks for the cell phone minutes are fairly expensive. It's nice to just have, if I have this resource, a free resource, I might as well utilize it. So I think I'll just maybe take a little time, look around, see if I can find something that could make my world perfect. Can make my broadcasting, mud-toe broadcasting world a place beyond compare. Would be a headphone for this old blocky phone here. So anyway, I think that's what I wanted to share with you there about that. Except that I feel very confident. I believe I said this last week. I feel absolutely confident that I can do the job. And it's come here the last couple of days where I've sat in some meetings and talked to my supervisor, and we seem to be on the same page about what things I ought to be concentrating on, you know, right off the bat, because there's a lot of, nobody's been in this job for several months. And, you know, just you can drive yourself crazy trying to get everything caught up at once. So my feeling and his feeling about what we should be concentrating on first were the same. So I see that as, you know, that's a hopeful sign that we're going to be able to work together well. As I say, the only thing is he constantly wants to be called on the phone, and that's not my thing, but I will adapt. Adopt, adapt, and improve, as they say. Okay, enough of that. Now the sex stuff. I don't know, it's not... I listened to a certain other show on this network that does delve into our channel. I mean, there's all kinds of sex shows on Blog Talk. We have one on our channel that delves into the realm of sexuality quite frequently. And Adriana is much more adept, I think, at talking about that. I'm kind of a repressed Midwesterner, mostly without the will to talk about it. I mean, why? I mean, I would rather talk about it, about sex with someone I'm doing it with, you know, than a bunch of other people who are just sort of listening and say, okay, well, is he going to say something interesting? When is he going to say something hot? When is Mudtoe going to say something hot? When is the last time Mudtoe said something hot? Come on. It's not going to be that kind of discussion. I'm just saying it's what I was saying before. I think I say to people, oh, you know, I haven't been dating anybody for a long time, and I'm getting old, and my romantic life wasn't that great in the first place. Well, you know, I have all that many. I haven't interviewed people to find out what their romantic life was all about from start to finish, but. Just from my own sort of internal clockwork, I think I've done all right. You know, only very recently has it been since I've gone. God, that sentence made a whole lot of sense. It's been 2009 was the last time I was in a relationship. And that was really while I was still fighting the alcohol thing. And by the way, this is Bill's birthday, Bill W's birthday, the founder of Alcoholics. No, not his birthday. The birthday of Alcoholics Anonymous itself is today. So we celebrate that. Certainly, I needed the 12 steps. I don't see eye to eye with a lot of the approaches of the 12 steps, but it came into my life at a time when I really needed it. And I do still think about it and read about it from time to time. I haven't been to a meeting for a long time, but the philosophies of 12 steps still underlie my original show, the show I did before this one, Mud to at Midnight. I had originally intended it was going to be a show about the 12 steps, but it turned into other things. As I started talking, I found out I talked so much about the 12 steps in other parts of my life that I didn't really want to talk about it on the radio, so that kind of faded away. But it hasn't faded out of my life, not at all. So there was that period that came that I needed to work on myself. And the relationship I had to forget about it and sort of shut that down. Never really come back, frankly. And I miss that. A psychic friend of mine once said called me an impossible Aquarius. And that's part of it. I mean, I desire the companionship of a woman, but I also need my time apart from that. And those changes can happen very quickly. I've noticed another thing, I've slipped into another habit that I often have, is that I never end a sentence. I just keep saying and. So when you hear me doing that, you can go to the website or go to the email and tell me that I'm doing it. I think the particular story I've been thinking about, right, where it started, the lady with the two teenage boys, it happened while I was living in Youngstown, Ohio. And she was the manager, see, I did it again. She was the manager of a restaurant, just a little restaurant there in town. She had noticed me. I don't think that's ever happened anywhere else besides a strip club, that a woman noticed me and went out of her way. She talked to somebody she knew. She figured that I worked at the company next door, because that's just would walk over and get lunch. So she knew someone from that company. So she asked who I am, and through her, she said this person was the accountant, one of the accountants of the company, came over and said, your love, it really likes you. This is a terrible teenage thing. And I started going out, and it was good. It had its ups and downs. We fought. She had a lot of ownership, isn't the right word. When she was easily upset when she perceived that I was trying to interfere with the way she was raising her boys. Personally, furthest thing from my mind, I didn't want to, I certainly didn't think it was my place to say something, but I would, once I came over and she was finishing putting away the laundry and one of the boys was sitting on the couch, and I said something along the lines of, why aren't you helping your mom with the laundry? And she didn't like that I said that. I didn't think of it as interfering. I thought of it as oh my God, that was just a horrible feeling that went through my head. Not horrible, I shouldn't say it that way. What I was going to say was, it's the kind of thing my mother would say. That was my mother coming out in me, and it was not a horrible thing. It's a thing. It's a thing. That's my mother, and my mother is part of me, and she would be the one who would come into a house and say something like that. But not meant. I didn't mean it as a criticism. I didn't mean it as the boy was a horrible person, or that she was a horrible person because she'd raised a boy like that. No, I just, encouraged him to get off his butt and carry that basket of laundry for his mother. So often, and this is what's difficult for me, and I'm certain for everyone, about relationships, is the feeling that you're walking into this landmine, this minefield, and there's landmines everywhere, and you just don't know when you're going to step on something. You want, it's wanting your life to be calm and smooth and predictable, kind of like me with that phone. You know, I don't like the fact that that phone is a landmine that could go off at any time. You're in a relationship, that person is a landmine that could go off at any time. But you put up with it because of the positives that you get from it. And you're never going to have, I'll say it for myself, I'm never going to have, I don't expect to have a relationship that's all something and sunshine. What is that expression? Applejacks and sunshine, I don't know. But it's all, you know, it's all good all the time. And that would be, that would be boring in a way. I mean, what's the point in being with someone who always agrees with you and that you always want to be in the same place and always want to be doing the same thing? I dated, several years before this, I dated a girl who had a similar issue. She didn't want to. I'm very into staying overnight. Stay overnight. I like staying at the other person's house because I, you know, my house. I know my house. I like staying overnight at the lady's place, or a hotel is nice too. I like, you know, using that kind of foreign bathroom. Waking up in the morning and going out for breakfast. That to me is the whole thing. That's the mise en scène. The whole thing. The whole experience. And a night, a romantic night is not complete without all those steps. Let me interrupt this story to go back to the first lady I was talking about, the one with the two boys. We went out for Valentine's Day, went out to a hotel, which was full of other drunken people, drunken couples out for Valentine's Day. And I have never been so aware of sex noises going on around me in my life, because, you know, it was going on both sides and above us, and you'd step out into the hallway to get a bucket of ice or a bottle of pop, and you'd hear it coming through each door as you walked out. It was a sex fest, and I guess we wouldn't have it any other way. Huh? It's how the hotel makes a big chunk of money for that one day. So, yeah, we one thing where we went in, they had a dinner, you know, had a dinner special and drink specials and musicians, and you know, they just did it up big for Valentine's Day. And then you joined in the moaning and screeching. And you woke up and had breakfast. So it was complete. It was all complete for me. Now back to the second story that I started prematurely. This is a lady who just simply refused to spend the night. And that made me, whether it was at her place or at my place, she just wouldn't do it. And she kept a lot of, you know, she stayed distant. I mean, we had fun. And I like, because she did, she was one of these light worker people. I met her at a, what was it? Some sort of demonstration. Singing bowls, I think. You know, those things where you run your finger around the edge of the bowl and it makes a tone. I can't remember if she was selling those or whether she was looking at the bowls or what it was. But I met her at this thing. And so she's, you know, very, this kind of esoteric, you know, wearing the goddess dresses and whatnot. But at the same time, she ate meat. It's very, I mean, so that was, this intrigued me, because this could be to have this, you know, spiritual person, but at the same time, they're not going to look at me cross-eyed when I want to, you know, have a cheeseburger. So I remember that this particular day at my apartment, we were, I made her a steak and some French fries, and we ate that, and we went shopping. And she got an outfit to wear. We came back and we had our fun, and it's like, and she's starting, we're talking, and she's starting to fall asleep. I said, I'm going to get her to stay. She's going to fall asleep, and you're going to be here when the sun comes up, and maybe I'll find out she's a vampire or something. But no, she snapped to it about 5:30 and says, nope, I have to go. Time to go. And she asked me to lead her out to the interstate, because she couldn't remember how to get back, you know, to the interstate and get back to, because we lived about an hour apart. I was in out of town. She was back in the big city, same big city where I live now. And so I led her back to the interstate, and she, you know, got there. She pulled around me, and waved to me, and back home she went. And I drove home into the rising sun. Thinking of that experience as a failure. When in fact, it had gone very well, except for the very end. Even that wasn't that terrible. I mean, it's just a kind of a fetish of my own, something that I was trying to make happen that really didn't, and hadn't even mentioned it to her that it was even important to me. So maybe that sort of stands, you know, that's sort of the same way I think about my relationships in general, because I feel, you know, that a lot of the things about my life, especially now after all this stuff has happened, how am I ever going to tell someone new about all the crap I went through during the last few years that I was drinking, stuff I did, and I don't know that I even need to tell. But and then things like this, you know, the reason I like doing this radio show. I mean, what happens when if I'm living with someone and I gotta go do the radio show, dear. How's that gonna come off? So I'm thinking about that. Someone who sort of shares these things I need to do for my to keep my spirit going. And then the physical side of it as well. You know, that we're able to appreciate each other, and there's some. See, there are a number of different stories I want to fit into this thing about. This is about that one person who, went out of their way. The one lady went out of their way to meet me. Another lady that, you know, impressed me because of she was doing this sort of spiritual thing, and that had attracted her to me. Another lady that I met by accident over the internet when I was flirting with her daughter. And I found, after talking to the mother for a while, I found that she was much more interesting. She may be the person who was most into me physically. And that's, you know, something always. I mean, does she like me? Is she turned on by me? Am I, you know, doing what I need to do for her? And I was never, that was never an issue with her. I always knew I was hitting the right notes, so to speak. So the way the story is going to go, and I am going to write it, is that it'll be on my blog, matosasquatch.com, is that I'm in the bedroom, in the bed with this lady, with the two boys, and trying to keep from going to sleep because, you know, I'm supposed to get out of there. I'm not supposed to sleep there all night. And as I'm half asleep, half awake, these recollections of all these various women who've meant something to me in that sort of context, they'll come back to me. And let's see, I think I've mentioned three. God, I'm a slut, aren't I? I mentioned three. There's at least one more. And she was all about sharing her place and her experiences with me. I can't really tell you about that because I just got my 90-second warning. So I got to get... I got to get on the stick and get that blog written so you can write it and, you know, give me your opinions at mudtoesasquatch@gmail. And I got to work hard and be a good, productive American and then join Match.com or something. I don't know. But anyway, thank you for listening this evening. And please keep coming back, as they say it, as they keep saying it. At AA, I think I've run out of things to say, so I'm just going to call a night. Once again, thank you very much, and talk to you next week.